Kristen Bitterly. She's a regional head of investments for North America, Citi Private Bank. And so we're just coming off these record highs here. And volatility has been muted. In fact, we haven't had a 5% correction all year long. Historically, that is somewhat of an anomaly. So what should investors be thinking here when they're looking at their portfolio, Kristen?
Yeah, so it's super interesting, right? Because one of the things that's making investors nervous is this lack of volatility. And when we look at realized volatility, we're at levels that basically are the lowest levels in terms of the 20-year ranges that we've seen. So to your point, we haven't seen a drop of at least 5%, which has only happened twice since 1980. The S&P 500 has had four drops of 3% or more, but we also see a pretty strong bid. Every single time we've seen a little bit of a pullback, the market is being bought. And so the key question right now is, what do I do in this market? And I think there's really kind of two different narratives that are going on here.
Well, let me just follow up on that.
Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, sorry about that. Let me just follow up on those two narratives that you're talking about, because I can see things kind of going either way. We're kind of at an inflection point.
Yeah, so I think these two narratives, especially on the back of the jobs data, is so the first narrative is growth is slowing, the job market's stagnating, consumer confidence has dropped, and the reopening isn't happening quickly enough. So basically, there's trouble ahead. Ironically, though, this is one of those things, and I read a headline this morning, you know, when bad news is good news, this means that the Fed could put off tapering. But if growth really ends up slowing, that could be negative to the for the markets. The second narrative is actually quite positive, right? So this is, we're past peak Delta. The weakness in jobs was really concentrated within leisure and hospitality, which was to be expected. And the jobs report is actually quite hawkish, because what we saw in that jobs report was not a question of demand. It was really a question of that matching, which could lead to wage inflation, which ultimately would mean that the Fed would have to act. So what you want to do for your portfolio, kind of bringing this back to what should I do if I could convince myself of either one of these narratives, is prepare your portfolio for inflation and also lean into quality. This is no longer a conversation about should I lean into the reflation trade, should I lean into the inflation trade. It's basically, let's get back to fundamentals and lean into quality.
Kristen, we've heard some whispers that this week President Biden may announce his decision on who he wants to be in terms of Fed chair. Let's say Jay Powell is not reappointed as Fed chair. Is that the event that sends the market into a correction?
So I think that would create, again, expecting volatility, right? So when we look at all of the different announcements, all of the different things, whether it's what you just brought up, change in the Fed chair, whether it is the infrastructure bill, whether it's taxes, all of these different things could basically have the market either interpreting it as good news or bad news. So I go back to whether we see a pullback or not, it's kind of preparing your portfolio. And the companies that are going to hold up well, regardless of either one of those outcomes, are basically those companies that ironically have underperformed over the past 12 months. So an area that we really like, dividend growers. So these are companies, not high dividend paying companies, but rather companies with very strong balance sheets, very strong free cash flow generation, that have the ability to grow earnings and have been increasingly increasing their dividends. So there you have a high dividend payout, 3 to 4%, which given where rates are, is very attractive. And you have this area of the market that's both defensive and growth given the sector representation.
Yeah, and especially in a rising interest rate environment, you really want that balance sheet strength. But I'm glad you mentioned rates. I want to stick with the bond market and check out the Wi-Fi Interactive, because we're seeing a big sell-off in bonds right now with the 10-year yield, which moves opposite the direction of the underlying bond. That is up 5 basis points, and we're at a pretty big level here. You can see we've been here in prior months several times, and if we broaden this out to a year-to-date chart, we can see this consolidation that's been happening. And, you know, when we get consolidation and there's a breakout, usually we get some movement. No guarantee it's going to happen to the upside. But what if it does? What if we do get a break to the upside or the downside? How do you see that playing out in the market, especially with respect to stocks and sector and style allocation?
And so I think with this, why we're seeing a little bit of that movement and curve steepening, right, that's happening within rates, is really given some of those concerns around inflationary pressures. So there's questions around growth overall, But given the jobs report, people are starting to interpret that as, wait, could there be some inflationary pressures, especially in terms of the inputs, right, on the wage side? And so I think that's the action that we're seeing. And you're absolutely right. When they move, they can move quite quickly. And so looking kind of to the end of this year, could we see something anywhere in the 10-year, about 150 to 2%? I know that's a pretty wide range, but that's where we're estimating it right now, which, again, just kind of goes back to this whole concept of how do you prepare your portfolio for this? You don't want to be in duration. You want to lean into alternative sources of yield. And the other thing that I have to mention is that while, you know, cash sometimes is king, yes, you want some cash balances in terms of your operating expenses, in terms of your safety net, but cash is an asset class right now where it's guaranteed to lose money, given the inflation outlook that we have, is not somewhere you want to be from an investment standpoint.
Kristen, you mentioned a little while ago that, you know, there remains a healthy bid under the market. And you're right, there is. But does that make the case that investors should be trying to market time, really being more aggressive in this environment to really pick good opportunities to get in?
So buying the dip, I think, is a little bit different than market timing. So the challenge with market timing, right, is you're consistently in and out. And psychologically, when do people pull back? They tend to pull back when we see a pullback in the market. And so some interesting statistics, just this year alone, if you had been out of the market for the five best days, you would have erased about 50% of your returns this year. If you were out of the market for the 10 best days, you would have erased 90% of your returns. So the irony is those really bad performing days, those pullbacks that we see, are followed by then the strongest performing days. So from a market timing perspective, it just doesn't work. However, if you are someone who has been sitting on the sidelines, who does have some tactical cash, buying the dip, especially in some of the sectors that we like, for example, healthcare, some of the long-term unstoppable trends, hyperconnectivity, digitization, when you see those buying opportunities, take advantage of that.
Buying the dip. That takes me back all the way to QE1, 2009. Good times. Kristen, thank you for dropping by us. Kristen Bitterly, Regional Head of Investments for North America City Private Bank.